Amen. Hey, speaking of online, how many guys have ever watched online? Could be YouTube, could be social media, but the rage is all those life hack videos. Have you seen that? And the life hack video, apparently what that means is it's some sort of technique, some cool idea that somebody's come up with that's supposed to save our lives so much time in new things. Like, for instance, maybe it's a video about a new way to tie your shoes, as goofy as that sounds, and that's supposed to save us time. Or there's some new method that somebody came up with to get that burnt stuff off your pan or whatever. I saw one guy, one life hack video, I guess that's the term for it, where he actually made a speaker for his iPhone out of a Pringles chip can. You see that one? And whatever, that's kind of cool. But I tell you what, as cool as those are, the examples I gave you, watch this ingenious life hack that this guy shows. I never would have thought of this in my life. I missed this all this time, that you can do with a milk carton. Seriously, it was there the whole time. And I never realized that's what the thing was for. But he's going to show us. Let's take a look at this. Yeah, that was called an epic failure, okay? It was really epic, but it was an epic failure. He needs to call Adrian and get it right, and I'll tell you what. But, man, is that, can you believe that? But, folks, I'm telling you, as epic of a failure as that is, okay, that's crazy. How many guys got snookered by it? You thought he was really going to come up with something cool, like, wow, I never thought those dotted lines, that's what they're for. Yeah, whatever. Okay, as epic of a failure as that was, believe it or not, that's paled in comparison to the ultimate epic failure that is going to come to this planet very soon. The Bible is very clear about it. And it goes like this. It's the day when people wake up only to realize that their life is about to be hacked to pieces, okay, because they made the biggest mistake of all. Every time that they had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, maybe even in a church service, they says, nah, I'll do it later. I don't need that. And because of that epic failure, they are about to be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, and their life is going to be hacked to pieces. It's not a joke. Jesus said the seven-year tribulation is the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God kept it to the 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed, okay? But as we've been seeing, praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a what? He's a God of love as well. And so he doesn't tell us the exact day nor the hour. Otherwise, we'd probably, unfortunately, goof off. He knows our nature, okay? But he does give us signs that it's getting close, okay? So that as Christians, certainly we finish strong, that we're not sidetracked, and that we get busy living for Jesus and sharing the gospel, amen? But if you're not a Christian, it's an indicator like, hey, you better get saved, and you better get saved now. Because the rapture is imminent, and you don't want to be left behind, okay? And so we're going to continue to take a look at those signs in our study, The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising. How do you know it's getting close? We don't know the day nor the hour, but how do you know that the seven-year tribulation is getting close, and then even more so the rapture, which happens prior, that's got to be even closer, okay? Now, what we've been doing so far is we've seen the first of three signs was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. 20 weeks, what God said to pay attention to Israel, the Middle East, what's going on. That's a whole other issue. We dealt with that for 20 weeks. It's a sign that things are getting close. The second one we saw was modern technology, all the different ways. Man, if you haven't, you might want to go back and revisit that. We had 8 weeks just on Big Brother technology, including with your phone being used as a tracking device. Remember that? That's all being called out for right now with this virus baloney and all that stuff that's going on. You might want to revisit that. But then the last two times we saw, speaking of modern technology, the third sign is the AI invasion. And what we begin in our new study is the Bible actually predicted, not just in Revelation, which is about 2,000 years ago, but 2,600 years ago, we saw in the book of Daniel clearly predicted that there would be not just an increase of travel, but a what? Increase of information, okay? And that's a huge mega sign that we're living in the last days. But this increase of information transformation that's already happening in our lifetime is leading to a serious danger that they call, listen, singularity, where they say, the secularists, not the Christians, that artificial intelligence or AI, machines and robots are going to take over the planet. Now, that's their terms, not mine, but that's what they're saying. It sounds crazy, but they agree with what the Bible says is going to happen when you see this increase of knowledge. The Bible calls it the end of times. They just call it singularity. It's the same thing. They're saying it's the end of civilization as we know it. So we began to take a look at an overview process, the step-by-step invasion of AI technology, how it all started, who's behind it all, where it's going, just like the Bible said would happen in the last days. And so far, we saw the first one was the race for AI. No matter that God said this is going to lead to the end of your society, even though the secularists agree, shocker, with God, that it's going to lead to the end of society, people around the planet are rushing to create AI on a scale we can't even dream of. Then last time we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, and the history of AI. And what we learned from that was AI has been around for quite some time. And the desire to create has been here for decades and decades, and even further if you want to go back there. But we saw by its various definition and the various types that the secular experts are saying, folks, this is something we really need to be concerned about. Okay, let me share that with you. They say it is growing at an exponential pace, and the risk of something seriously dangerous happening within 5 years, not 50 years, 5 years, is a serious issue. They say, which will lead to an event called singularity, where artificial intelligence will, quote, exceed human intellectual capacity and radically change or even, quote, end civilization. Again, they don't use biblical terms, but they're agreeing, shocker, with what God predicted 2,600 years ago. What we're seeing is the beginning of the end. God calls it the end of time. In the book of Daniel, they call it singularity. It's the same thing. Okay, but this is all going on in the background while everybody's worried about the economy and other things. Okay, now I'm still preaching, so guess what? There's got to be more. That's right, Pastor Tom. I didn't even have to do that fake voice on the side of the mouth. And I appreciate that because that gets annoying after a while. The fifth overview that we're going to take a look on the AI invasion is the big data of AI. The big data of AI. Now pay attention to this because we got into this a little bit last week, but I want to conclude it on this week on this aspect. And what we saw last week is one of the things you have to have if you're going to create a true AI is a ton of information, right? You don't just need supercomputing power, which is what we got now. The other half of the equation, if you're going to create a super electronic brain, is you need a massive amount of information. And we saw the reason why is because when they began to develop AI, they came across what they called the common sense knowledge problem. Remember that? And the common sense knowledge problem was there are no shortcuts and truly to be able to create an electronic human brain, to emulate the human brain. You have to treat it just like a human brain. You can't, there's no shortcuts. In other words, you and I gain our intelligence every single day, okay, as we grow through our five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we taste and touch and smell and etc. Well, they say it's the same thing with AI. If you're going to truly develop something that's mimicking the human brain, you have to hand feed it information every day. And I mean a ton of it. That's the issue behind big data, right? So you can have all the supercomputing power that you want, but if you don't have massive amounts of data to daily feed this thing, it'll never mimic the human brain. You understand that? Well, guess what we have? We have a massive amount of information to feed AI. I'm telling you, this is important because it's not just, yeah, we got big chips that are really fast. No, you can't create AI without data. It's that important. But again, we've got it, and that's what God said would happen in the last days. One more time, let's go back to our text in Daniel 12 that tells us that this would happen. Okay, you would end up with a society that would have so much information, and information is basically another word for what? Data, right, is what you need. But we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, one more time. And then we're going to move on to other prophecy texts dealing with AI. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. Let's take a look at what's going on here. But let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word, right? But here was 2,600 years ago. Here was the indicator. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There's going to be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. Obviously, speaking about the seven-year tribulation, the final week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy mentioned three chapters prior in Daniel chapter 9. But that time, your people, the Jewish people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. God is not done with the Jewish people, as we saw. He's going to sovereignly protect one-third of them. Two-thirds are going to be annihilated by the Antichrist at the midway point when he goes on his hunting spree after he commits the abomination of desolation. But God is not done with the Jewish people. And that's what he's promising them. Okay? And they're going to be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. If only I knew, once again, an indicator that we're getting close to the time of the end. Well, again, keep reading. What's he say? He gives you two other big deals. Many will what? Go here and there. Okay, and again, we're talking about a global basis. And what? There's going to be a what? An increase of knowledge, or you could also translate that data. There's going to be a massive amount of knowledge, and knowledge, of course, when you catalog it and acquire it and store it, it's basically data. Okay, but again, as we saw before, God is giving Daniel some clear-cut signs as it's getting close to the end of times, what God calls it. Okay, the end of civilization basically as we know it. Now, we know it's not the end of humanity, because at the end of the seven-year tribulation, when Jesus comes back at his second coming with us, the church, who've been in heaven the whole time during the seven-year tribulation, he's going to set up the millennial kingdom. So it's not the end of the earth and whatever. Later, at the end of the millennial kingdom, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And then, praise God, finally, no more devil, demons. This is the state of eternity. It's going to be awesome. You definitely want to be there. Okay? And that happens through Jesus Christ. But what he's talking about is end of the civilization as we know it. Right? And this is a big wake-up call. We're seeing telltale signs that our society, our world, is basically what? Cracking at the seams and falling apart. Okay? And Jesus is going to wrap it up. Okay, and that will be at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But how do you know it's getting close? When you see, once again, God sovereignly protecting the Jewish people. He also gives you another two indicators there. One, you're going to see travel all over the world, which we dealt with for 3 weeks in a row in our previous study on modern technology. But again, for our context, he said the next thing. There's going to be an increase of knowledge. Okay. Now, the term that is happening, as we saw before with this increase of knowledge, they're calling it the knowledge tsunami, the information tsunami. We've got so much information we don't even know what to do with. Right? That's what we saw in our first two studies. In fact, we also saw we aren't letting it go to waste. We need to store that knowledge, right? And we saw that even the history of hard drives and storage capability, and now everything's going into the cloud, all these new ways to what? Catalog and keep a hold of and store all this knowledge is growing exponentially out of control as well. Okay? But again, this is the other half of creating AI. It's not just an increase of knowledge. It's not just the ability to store that knowledge. It's not just having super fast computers. It's you got to figure out how to tap into all that knowledge, and every single day you have to hand feed it to the AI. Well, folks, that's the term, if you've been paying attention to the media, is when you see the term big data. Have you seen that? That's what they mean. This is the data that they're hand-feeding AI to what? To literally create a world brain, a superhuman computer brain, an AI that potentially could spiral out of control. Now, another term that they use for big data is it's also being referred to as the new oil. Okay, if you've seen that in print, the new oil. Why do they call big data the new oil? Because big data is worth a lot of money, right? As we saw before, again, in our previous study, modern technology, these companies use all this data that they're gaining off of us for financial purposes, okay? So, and big data is also what you need to create AI. So people are willing to pay millions of dollars for this big data. So that's why they call it the new oil, just to give you some idea of some of the terms out there. But big data is, again, what you have to create AI. Now, I want to just give you a little teaser. We dealt with some of the different ways that they're grabbing data off of you and I in our previous study, but I want to give you an idea of just how much data is being created on our planet, literally off the backs of you and I. In fact, just by our very existence, we're creating data. And I'm telling you, they're using all this not to just build dossiers on us, not to just catalog everything about us, but they're doing this to feed it to an AI to create a super brain. But let's remind ourselves of all the different ways as we sit here, they're getting information off of us, whether we like it or not. Let's take a look at that.
You may have seen an ad before this video, or maybe there's one over on the Twitter feed you're scrolling through right now. Those ads are great examples of how big data is used. They're often chosen just for you, based on the site you've been to, your sex, approximate age, and where you live, plus a bunch of other variables. The data is part of a huge, gigantically huge amount of data about you and everyone else. Almost every time you click or don't click an ad, that data gets stored somewhere. Every time you watch a YouTube video like this one, YouTube keeps a record of it. even some toothbrushes and water bottles, collect data on your everyday habits. Datasets include the clicks of everyone who has ever been on Amazon, every like and comment on every Instagram picture, every purchase you make with a credit card, every show you stream on Netflix, and how long you watch. With 7.5 billion people on the planet, lots of data is created every second. I mean, pretty much just by existing, you're creating data. So much data that we call it big data. In the days before smartphones, laptops, and personal computers, data was hard to come by. It took a lot of time and effort to record measurements and store them. Often data from the U.S. Census, which takes place every 10 years, would take almost 10 years to collect and put together. Computers have helped shorten the time it takes to collect, summarize, and store data. But as our power to collect and analyze data increases, we just make more and more of it. The term big data in the way we use it today is usually credited to John Mashey. In the 1990s, he used the term to describe data that is so big and complex that commonly used tools to work with data, everything from collecting to interpreting, just can't handle it. Your phone records your location, the apps you use, and how long you use them. And all those apps that you use are each collecting their own data on you. That's why StubHub won't stop pinging me about Taylor Swift concert tickets. They know me. The Coca-Cola company collects data from tons of places, including those soft drink machines that let you add different flavors to your soda. That's the reason we have Cherry Sprite. Enough people were choosing the combination, and Coke had the data to prove it, so they put it in cans. We've created an interconnected world that's sometimes referred to as the Internet of Things. Consider the network of smart devices that collect data and can potentially communicate with each other. Everything from your refrigerator to your car to your watch to your lights. Scientists have even rigged some spinach plants to be able to wirelessly send emails about their surroundings. Even when you visit a ski resort, they're collecting data. They may give you a scannable RFID pass, allowing automated ski lift access. Plus, the resort employees will know where you are while you ski, and an app will give you all kinds of stats, like how many days you skied and your vertical distance. Big data is used to personalize medicine, to predict which baseball players a team should recruit, and to create driverless cars. You're also using big data every time you use Google Maps. If you have your location enabled on your phone, information about your location and speed is constantly being sent back to Google. The whole point of big data is that there's too much of it to wrap our heads around.
Yeah, how many guys can agree? So I had no stinking idea of what was going on there. Anybody starting to feel like a caged rat? Yeah, and that's not even counting all the social media and all the other different things we dealt with for 8 weeks in a row of how they're doing Big Brother issues that are on you and I, okay? But basically, what did he say at the end? We can't even wrap our heads around this. It's not just they're creating data. We got so much data, we can't even conceive of how much data it is. In fact, we got so much data, what they also admitted is it's so big and so complex that, quote, commonly used tools to work with it just can't handle it. In other words, you can't get enough humans to access this data, to work with it, to do what you need to do with it in order to do what they want to do with it. And one of the things they want to do with it is to figure everything about us, not just for Big Brother purposes, but they also want to know everything about us so that they can send us targeted ads and make money off of us and get us to buy stuff, right? But they're saying we've got so much of it come from so many different sources, whether people realize it or not, they know it, but we can't handle it anymore. So here's the issue. Guess what they're turning to? AI, right? Now, whether they realize what they're doing, I think some do. I don't know if they all do, but they're now saying AI is the savior. AI has the ability to handle all this data that humans can't. And won't that be great? Because AI has the ability to spit out the reports we need in order to use it for financial gain, right? But the problem is, by doing that and giving AI access every single day to this level of data, you know what they're doing? That's what they're doing to feed and create an AI that could potentially spiral out of control. You're fixing the common sense knowledge problem. You're giving AI a massive amount of data about everything you could possibly think of on a scale never before here in the human history, okay? In fact, they freely admit that this is exactly what you need to do if you're going to make an AI super brain. You have to have given it access to this data. Let's take a look at that.
While the marketing uses for big data may be the most common or obvious today, tomorrow's uses for big data can be summed up in two words: artificial intelligence, or AI. Our brains are intelligent, or so we hope, because we can perceive things in an endless array of diverse situations, from recognizing a stop sign on a sunny day or at night, to intuitively grasping the difference between doing something that's right versus something that's wrong. We tend to equate intelligence with the ability to understand and make distinctions, rather than just being smart with command of lots of facts. Data scientists have a term for this ability. They call it agency, and they see it, like we non-data scientists do, as something more than being simply book smart. Intelligence doesn't arise from possessing information alone, but instead learning and integrating it into experiences, different ones, over and over again. Theoretically, we get smarter with every new bit of information we acquire in our lives, or at least we could. It's the same for artificial intelligence too.
So what they just admit, given it access to this massive amounts of big data every day, it's not just acquiring data, it's learning from it. And did you know they actually have a term in print for this? AI becoming a super electronic brain? They're not going to say that, you'll freak out. It's called machine learning. It's not just memorizing facts and figures. Just like you and I, it's learning, you get smashed by a car. It learns. AI is learning just like a human brain. They've given it access to this big data, and right now they're saying, this is what the secularists, hopefully your mind's starting to open up a little bit more about this AI issue. This is what they're saying, because we're doing this, you're giving it everything it needs to potentially spiral out of control. It's going to become superhuman, it's going to go above and beyond us, and it might actually take over the planet. Sounds crazy, folks, but that's what they're saying is Hanley. Right now, AI is being fed every single day access to this massive amount of data, and it is going to spiral out of control. Again, they call it singularity. God calls it the end of time. Okay, now, let's get into the makers of AI, okay, with this technology, because again, as we saw before, no matter that God warns this is going to spell the end of your civilization, even the secularists are saying it's going to lead to singularity, the end of your civilization, people are racing to create it. Now, what I want to share with you isn't just people are racing to create it, they've already created it. Okay, several different corporations. We're going to have a whole message, Lord willing, just on the militaries around the world and what they're doing with it. That's a whole other aspect, but I want to deal with some corporations, okay, that are dealing with AI. Now, I don't have time, obviously, to get into all of them, but I'm going to hit some highlights. Who are the people right now who have already created AI, who are already given access to big data, and each one of their AI systems, not just one, but each one of them is running the risk of spiraling out of control. And it's all happening at the same time. Okay, I want to give you a few of them, but let me give you just some of the popular countries in the U.S. and then around the world, and then I'm going to break it down for you. Okay, first of all, Apple. Now, a lot of people are aware of these companies, but they don't realize that these companies are completely reliant upon AI to do what they do. Apple, of course, is a multinational company, headquarters in California. Many of these companies in the U.S. are in Silicon Valley on the same location. They're all doing it. Okay, and of course, Apple, consumer electronics, online services, but since 2016, they acquire several AI startups. Google's doing the same thing. All these other corporations, they aren't even waiting to develop themselves. They got so much money, billions of dollars, they just go buy up all these companies that are creating AI. So Apple's been doing that, eating them up, and that's what they use right now for their face ID and other things, their facial security system, that's AI. Right, a lot of things that you're interacting with technology right now, it's not a human. It's AI, and it's not coming. It's already here, already being put into place. And it is gaining information off of you and learning. Right, Amazon, of course, is another big one. We know Amazon's the big giant e-commerce giant. They're big on cloud computing and AI software. We'll get to that in a second. It's the largest internet retailer in the world, the second public U.S. company to reach a value of $1 trillion. Not billion, $1 trillion after Apple. So they're big. Amazon uses AI like you won't believe. We'll get in a second. Microsoft, of course, manufacturer, computer hardware, software, electronics, data storage and protective services, of course, founded in 1975 by Bill Gates and Paul Allen. Google, huge. We'll get into that in a second here. Multinational company, again, based out of California. They're known for their search engine, advertising technology, Android software, cloud computing, machine learning. Again, what's machine learning mean? AI is learning like a human off the data that you give it. So just translate it for what it is. But search engine technology, cloud computing. Have you ever noticed when you're on Google and all of a sudden these ads start popping up? That's not a human doing that. That's AI. That's Google's AI doing that to you in real time. Facebook, of course, I call it Tracebook, big social media network, launched in 2004. Mark Zuckerberg, huge on AI. It's one of the largest social media platforms on the planet, but they're also big on cloud computing, virtual reality, machine learning, and other forms of AI. We'll get into that in just a second. IBM, of course, is huge. America's oldest technology company, been around since 1911. Software, middleware, you name it. They got a lot of consulting services. They're into nanotechnology, mainframe computing, predictive maintenance, and of course, they've already named their AI, and they've called it what? Watson, okay? Intel, of course, is big. Why? Because they're the ones that does the other half. They're the ones that develop the chips, the supercomputing chips to handle the information. That's the one half of AI, but you also need the big data as well. But they're the ones who are feeding these companies the chips to be able to create not only their organizations, but also AI as well. Anki is another one you may not have heard of. I'm just dealing with the top 10. That's an American AI robotics company. Also makes AI children's products. As we saw before in our modern technology study, many of the technologies today, the kids' toys, the dolls, and things of that nature, they're actually listening to you. They're recording your conversations. Okay, a lot of that's AI technology. But Anki's behind that. Another one called Banjo. They develop AI. And but listen to this. They comb through social media in real time to gather information. This came out after the Boston Marathon in 2013 as a way to analyze social media and react and make decisions faster. So this AI is monitoring live in real time what's going on in social media, to just name a few platforms. This is also how they're able to ban things, like even what the president's doing on Twitter, immediately. That's not humans doing that. That's AI. And that's a whole nother aspect, what's considered hate speech, and AI is going to control the content on everything. AI Brain is another one. That's, again, based out of California. And their main focus is developing an AI complete with human-like problem-solving, learning, and memory capacity. Now, that's just in the United States. Let's go around the world very quickly and see who's got the most. There's Appier out of Taiwan. There's Kindred Systems in Canada. Element AI in Canada. Orcom Technologies in Israel, Prospera Technologies in Israel, also Preferred Networks in Japan. Here we go. We got SenseTime in where? China. We also have Mobvoi in where? China. We have CamberCon in where? China. We also have what? ByteDance out of China. So once again, as we saw before, China is investing more in AI, including U.S., by a long shot. Because they realize, like Vladimir Putin warned, he who develops AI, the biggest, the baddest, the first, will rule the world. And China is taking this serious. We're concerned about that virus thing and what China did and whatever and trade agreements. You better start opening your eyes to China developing this AI faster than anybody else, okay? They're taking it serious, okay? But that's just a list of that. Now, I can't give you all because just one source. I just gave you the top 10 in the U.S. and the world. Listen to this. One website I came across listed 8,273 different companies right now developing AI. And I still don't think that's all. So obviously that's why I stuck to just the top 10. Okay. But are you serious? Yeah. And they not only have the computing power, but they're feeding into these systems big data, which is what you need to create the electronic brain. This is why you're hearing people come out going, this is probably dangerous. We shouldn't do this. This is why you have Elon Musk saying, hey, we're probably summoning the demon, right? It's because we are flirting with our own disaster. Now, God warned about it 2,600 years ago, but they're not listening to God. They're not even listening to their own secular experts saying, this is going to lead to singularity, the end of civilization. They're still doing it. It's almost like God is, that mankind is under a delusion, okay? But let me break it down into some of the top ones here in the country. And I wanted to show you that AI, they've already developed. And it's not just that it's coming, it's already here. They've already developed it, and they're already showing signs of going rogue, right? This is what we're going to conclude with. AI companies that they already have in existence for years, and AI is already spiraling out of control, just like God warned about. Now, the first one, of course, is IBM that we're going to deal with. Now, as we saw last time, IBM's created AI. It's been for a long time. As we saw before, they have a name for their AI, right? It's called Watson. And then last time, if you're here, we saw that Watson, back in 2011, was already at a human-level intelligence where it was superhuman. It beat the two best human Jeopardy champions of all time. Remember that? And beat their pants off. I mean, it was not even close, okay? And so much so, they have continued to develop Watson that Jeopardy eats your heart out. Watson, there is now being pitched to do all kinds of things for you and I, right? Not just win contests, okay? But here's how they're pitching their AI system. Let's take a look at that.
Technology has helped us go further, go faster, go to the moon, solve problems previous generations couldn't imagine. But can technology think? Watson can. IBM Watson is a technology unlike any that's come before. Because rather than force humans to think like a computer, Watson interacts with humans on human terms. Watson can read and understand natural language, like the tweets, texts, articles, studies, and reports that make up as much as 80% of the data in the world. A simple internet search can't do that. When asked a question, Watson generates a hypothesis and comes up with both a response and a level of confidence. And then Watson shows you the steps it took to get to that response. In a way, Watson is reasoning. You don't program Watson, you work with Watson. And through your interactions with it, it learns, just like we do. Every experience you give it makes it smarter and faster. But in addition to learning, Watson can also teach. Accessible on the cloud, anytime. Watson needs you. This generation of problem solvers is going to learn much faster with Watson, and Watson, in turn, will learn much faster with us. Developers will solve new problems. Business leaders will ask bigger questions. And together, we'll do things generations before couldn't dream of.
Yeah, like, you know, keep providing it data whether we want it or not, and it's going to spiral out of control and end humanity. That's just, you know, a minor issue. But Watson is not coming. It's already here. It's been here for a long time. It just gets smarter and smarter by the day. Notice how it said there that Watson needs you, right? Because it's getting data off of you, and that's the daily information it needs to create the super brain. The second one, of course, is not just IBM. It's Google. Google is huge and has been huge for decades. And frankly, as we're going to see from their inception, their goal is to create an AI to basically hold the world hostage. Okay, as freaky as that sounds. And most people don't realize that when Google first started up back in 1998, remember those days? Back when people drove, you didn't even drive cars. We scooted rocks on the ground. And that's how we traveled, you know, back in those days, whatever. But back in 1998, Google admitted when they were first starting, listen to this, it had nothing to do with making another search engine. We're here to create a true AI. Okay, and if you recall back in those days when the internet first was really starting to become popular, late 90s, early 2000s, we had tons of search engines that were out there. Remember InfoSeek? You guys ever use that one? Maybe Yahoo Search? Remember that? Remember Web Crawler? A little spider thing there that was later bought out by AOL. Remember AOL? Remember that big thing? Lycos, Excite, Alta Vista, that was my favorite. Hotbot, Ask Jeeves, remember that thing? Ask Jeeves any question you want, right? All that stuff. We had tons and tons of search engines, right? And then here comes these young upstarts, Google, and they come with their search engine. Well, why? Because they admitted that's not their goal. Believe it or not, they admitted way back then their real goal was we're here to create AI. Watch this. They admitted it on tape.
There is no practical obstacle whatever now to the creation of an efficient index to all human knowledge, ideas, and achievements. To the creation, that is, of a complete planetary memory for all mankind.
For Wells, the world brain had to contain all that was learnt and known and that was being learnt and known.
If you have access to anything that's been written, not just theoretical access, but like instant access next to your brain, that changes your idea of who you are.
They were frank in their ambition and dazzling in their ability to execute it.
The Google Book Scanning Project is clearly the most ambitious world brain scheme that has ever been invented.
This is no remote dream, no fantasy. It is a plain statement of a contemporary state of affairs.
The nightmare scenario in 20 years' time would be Google tracking everything we read.
Google could basically hold the whole world hostage.
I did talk to Larry Page when Google first started, because I was really perplexed about why would anybody make a new search engine when we had AltaVista, which was the current search engine. It seemed good enough. And he said, oh, it's not to make a search engine, it's to make an AI.
Straight out of the horse's mouth. Why do we exist? It has nothing to do with the search engine. That's just smokescreen. We're here to create AI. So they admitted it way back then. It has everything to do with that. Now, this is really, when you understand this, this is why Google does what Google does, including with all their information technology. Why are they gathering so much information off of us, including with what we search of? It's to create a true AI. Okay, why? Because that's what you need to have if you're going to create artificial intelligence, a true superhuman brain. You don't just need the computing power. What's the other half of the equation? You need to amass a massive amount of data on anything and everything you can think of and feed it to that thing daily so it can learn every day, i.e. machine learning. And that's what Google is doing with all their stuff on a massive scale. They're creating a world electronic brain. And I believe, like the one person said, if you can get control of all the information on the planet and access to it, what are you doing? You're holding the world hostage. Right? Sounds crazy, but folks, this is really what's going on. And this also explains the reasons why Google does what Google does with other information technologies. You got what? Not just Google search engine, but what? Google email, which they know everything you do with all your emails, who your contacts are, what your content is, all that stuff. Google databases that you store your stuff into, that you're giving them access. Google photos, Google satellites, videos. Who do you think bought YouTube, which is the biggest video access? It's all Google. It's all information for Google. The Google Books project that he was talking about in the video, you know what he's talking about? Google's on their own dime for years now has been going to every major university that you can get their hands on, libraries, whole library, even monasteries on the planet. They're going into them. You saw one of the scanning machines on their own dime. They're scanning every book that they can get their hands on in every major university, library, monastery around the world, and they're scanning that book information into a centralized database on top of everything else. Why? Because that's the level of information you need to hand feed and create an AI. They admit it. That's their goal, okay? On their own dime. In fact, Ray Kurzweil, we've seen him before, he works for Google. He admitted this is exactly what their Google Books project was all about. It's going to create a super AI. Watch this.
Most of my discussions have been with Larry Page. We've talked in general about their quest to digitize all knowledge and then develop true AI. I mean, we can create intelligent systems if you have very large databases. And books are actually probably more valuable than all the other stuff on the internet.
So there you go. His discussions with the founders are what? We're amassing this information, we're digitizing everything, including books, not just to mention all the other digital information, and we're using it to create AI. Now, the other thing that is creepy about that is you couple it with some other creepy statements that Google has made. Not just they're here to create AI, but it's still in print. I just checked. And I quote to this. The Google boys appear to have a dream of taking over the universe by gathering all the information in the world and creating the electronic equivalent, in their own words, quote, the mind of God. That's their words. It's still in print. You can check it out yourself. So Google wants to be like the mind of God, so much for a search engine. This is not just arrogant, it's dangerous, okay? And again, this could lead to AI literally becoming what they want us to be, godlike, to where it will govern the planet. They think they're going to keep control of it. But the secular says, no, it's going to spiral out of control, and you guys are going to lose control, and it's going to take over the planet. They call it singularity. God calls it what? The end of time. But that's going on. You thought the other ones was bad. That's Google. But not only that, the big one, what? Man, Amazon. Amazon is huge on AI, and so much so that they have not only got AI, they run their organization on AI, but so much so they perfected AI that they're actually farming their AI system out to other entities to make money off of that. Okay, and I want to break that down for you. Their AI service is called AWS, or Amazon Web Services. You might have seen some commercials. There's some views of their icon, but when you see AWS, that's basically Amazon's AI services. They're farming out their artificial intelligence for your businesses. And what they want you to do is they want your business to store all your business data, your financial information, your database, all your information into their AWS cloud computing source. And they will, you pay them to let AI access, manage, farm, generate reports that humans can't do to help run your business, make it more successful, profitable, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Okay? And of course, it saves other people from having the hassle of trying to create their own AI to manage all this big data that they don't know what to do with. Okay? Now, this is why you also hear big times, not just trying to work with Amazon to go into their cloud computing, but you and I are being encouraged to what? Store everything in the what? In the cloud. The cloud is basically big online databases, okay? But the problem is that, guess what? That's all your personal information. That's all your files. That's all your pictures. That's everything that was on your private on your computer. You're now putting up into the cloud. And we're being told it's secure. Yeah, if you believe that, I got some swamp land to sell you after the service, okay? But clouds are huge databases, listen, that AI systems are being given access to, not just to run your business, like through Amazon, not just to store your personal information, as you and I are encouraged to do. In fact, if you notice that most new laptops today, automatically with Windows, what's it doing? Whether you knew it or not, it's storing into what? Into the cloud. So they're getting all of our information off of our computers, whether you want to or not, basically. But back to Amazon, customers who use Amazon's cloud, their AI, AWS service, listen to this, allows Amazon's AI to process this information, analyze it, quote, and to further advance their machine learning efforts. Can I translate that for you? All this information that we keep stored in these cloud systems is actually feeding their AI, making the AI smarter and smarter and smarter and superhuman. So basically, our data in all these clouds, whether it's personal or business, is becoming food for AI, and we have to pay for it. But they're gaining from that. In fact, so much so is Amazon using AI, it's basically in everything they do. In fact, their AI system, to use their term, they call it the flywheel. And this is the term to describe how AI is now controlling all the major hubs, the different cogs, like in a flywheel, of the business called Amazon. It controls basically everything. Amazon Shopping, Amazon Robotics, even what's coming there, Amazon Drone Delivery Service, Prime Air, Amazon smart devices like Echo, all that stuff. You think it's a human that you're interacting with? No, it's not. It's actually AI. Amazon is using it, including the new service we saw before where you can shop without cash. AI's doing that as well. Let's take a look at that.
Welcome. Swipe in here.
Amazon Go is the ultimate grab-and-go shopping experience.
You literally grab it off the shelves and go.
You use the app to enter the store. Mm-hmm. Once you're in, you can put the phone away. And you shop the rest of the store just like you would any other store, with one key difference. When you're done, you could just walk out.
It's simple for customers, but nothing is simple about the technology behind this cashierless store. The Amazon Go Market uses artificial intelligence to monitor what you've reached for on the shelf and to make sure you're charged for what you walked out with. The Amazon Go Store is by no means the only place where Amazon uses AI.
We've got hundreds of teams working on artificial intelligence programs across Amazon. Artificial intelligence, like machine learning, powers the simplicity that we always want to offer to our customers.
Whether it's fulfilling orders or delivering packages.
Perfect.
Those teams are working constantly to improve the customer's experience.
They're super simple for customers, but behind the scenes, there's sophisticated artificial intelligence and machine learning that power it.
Inside Amazon's warehouses, AI is hard at work. These are Amazon Robotics drive units.
Once a customer actually purchases an item, either on their mobile app or on their computer or laptop, the system identifies the pod where the item is actually located in a field, and the bot maps out the most efficient way through using machine learning to get that pod, which has that item that that customer purchased, to the associate.
Alexa, order dog biscuits.
And of course,
one moment.
The AI tool you're most familiar with,
here's what I found,
is always learning new tricks.
So I'll give you an experience that you might want to have when you come home. You've had a long day. So you just come in and say, Alexa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Day One Home Lab.
Lifting the blinds.
She lifts the blinds.
88 degrees Fahrenheit with partly sunny skies. Tonight, you can look for clear skies with a low of
6. The kettle is on. Okay.
Kettle is on.
Yeah. Some music.
Now she's going to play music for you.
Really setting the scene.
Yes, yes.
She's doing all the things that, like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm too tired to do it.
She'll do everything except take off your shoes.
Okay.
But that actually is coming, and wait till we get to our future studies with these smart homes, smart devices, AI controlling everything you do outside your home, inside your home, all under the guise of convenience, because it's just too hard to open those blinds. Yeah, that's a future one. But listen, speaking of Amazon Echo, I've warned about this before in our Big Brother studies, but listen to this, back to the big data issue. The Amazon Echo and Alexa voice platform is a low-cost, ubiquitous computer with all of its brains in the cloud, okay, that you could interact with over voice. You speak to it, and, quote, it speaks to you. That's an AI interacting with you. Okay, in real time. Listen to this. The more people use Alexa, the more Amazon gets information that not only makes the system perform better, but it supercharges its own machine learning. So I can tell you that. On top of all the data that we're given to these AI systems every single day, our conversations with these entities is becoming their food. You get it? Making it every day smarter and smarter and smarter, to where it's starting to run the risk of it's going to take over. And it's more that it permeates society and begins to, and we haven't gotten to this aspect of how it infiltrates every sector of society, business, home, finance, you name it. What if that thing went rogue? You can't do nothing. You can't get out of your house. You can't shop. You can't buy. What's that starting to sound like? Because AI is now controlling the whole thing. Now, they call it singularity. God calls it what? The end of time. Okay, let me give you one more, and we're going to close. Now, of course, the big one is Facebook. Okay, turn to somebody and say, it's called Tracebook. Okay, for a reason, because that's really what it is. Now, not only do the current, listen, 2.5 billion users of Facebook don't realize, the bulk of them, that every day that they log in, interact with Facebook, you are being tracked, you are being monitored, cataloged, you're creating a huge database of massive information that they're using for nefarious purposes. Again, we dealt with that in our modern technology study on massive detail, but they don't realize, on top of all that, Facebook is huge and totally reliant on AI. And they've been using it for years to do all this stuff on us, right? One guy said this, Facebook's artificial intelligence is unfathomable. He said the company functions around the goal, listen to this, this is their goal of connecting every person on the planet through Facebook and its Facebook-owned tech products like WhatsApp, Instagram, Oculus, and more. Okay? It isn't just a social media program. They stated Zuckerberg's goal is to connect everybody on the planet. He's doing the same thing that Google's doing, and as we saw, Amazon's doing, and IBM's doing, and Apple's doing. You don't need to develop AI. You just got so much money now, you just go buy up these AI people that's developing it. And then you bring that into your umbrella. And that's what Facebook's doing. They're buying up all these platforms. Now, listen to this. They say AI is the way and the source of knowing people's, listen, lifestyles, interests, behavior patterns, tastes inside and out, what the individual users like, what they don't like. And this data can be utilized for profit at an exorbitant value, right? So we've known that Facebook gathers this information on us, but it isn't a bunch of tech geeks that are at these tables analyzing all this data. It's all being run by AI. And it's been doing that for years, okay? They're using AI to monitor all. In fact, let me give you a quick list of just some of the ways right now that AI is using its abilities for Facebook on things that we maybe take for granted. Facebook right now is using AI to analyze text called deep text, which deciphers the meaning of content posted online, directs people to advertisers based on the conversations they're having. Remember we saw that? It's listening on your phone. Because you did the Facebook Messenger app, you gave it, whether you wanted it or not, permission to do that. And based on what you're saying, all of a sudden AI is listening to every conversation in real time. And that's why next time you go to Facebook or even just log in your computer, you have an ad about mattresses because you mentioned the word mattress in that. We've dealt with that in detail in a previous study. But AI is what's doing that. That's not humans. No humans have that ability. It's too complex. But AI is doing it. They use AI to create chatbots to converse the text, to deliver weather, traffic reports, welcome messages, shipping notifications, live automated messages. You think that's a human contacting you? No, it's not. That's AI doing that. They use AI to transform video and photos. AI gives it all those artsy touches. That's AI being generated. They use AI for their facial recognition abilities. It's called DeepFace to recognize people in photos. Okay. It's the most advanced image recognition tool, more successful than humans in recognizing people. Remember we saw before? You can fool people, but you can't fool Facebook. Anywhere you go around the world with their AI DeepFace technology, it will recognize you even with a disguise. That's how accurate that thing is. But that's AI. They are using AI to supposedly prevent suicide. Facebook is using AI to signal posts to people who might be in need of or driven by suicidal tendencies. They flag phrases and posts and then alert family members or friends that that person might be at risk, which means AI is monitoring content in real time, which is leading to this one. They're using AI to detect so-called bad content. Right? To detect things like terrorism and hate speech. Now, what's the danger of that? Who gets to define that? As our president's learning out, they didn't like what he said. Well, what happened to freedom of speech? But these AI systems are saying, nope, we have determined that's hate speech, and that's not humans doing that. AI is monitoring all that. They also use it for translation of languages, right? If you've ever been on Facebook, Google does the same thing on their searches. All you got to do, you got somebody making a comment on your social media platform and it's in Chinese or whatever, what do? Just hit what? Translation, bang, instantly it's in your language. That's AI that's doing that. And it says it's crucial to everything. They also use it to, watch this, map the population of the whole. That's their term. And this means through AI, Facebook is now mapping the what? World's population density. Watch this. It won't be long before the whole world's population is mapped through on the ground and high resolution satellite imagery. The data will be a humongous help for disaster relief and what? Vaccination schemes. They'll know where you're at between a combination of your cell phone, social media, any of this stuff. They'll find you. And what did that Horowitz guy say? They have the, quote, right, which I strongly disagree with, to plunge that needle into your arm. They'll find you. But that's AI, and that's what just a tip of the iceberg, what Facebook is already using it for, okay? But what could go wrong? I mean, obviously, these guys are tech moguls. They know what they're doing, whether it's IBM or Watson, you know, that they created, or whether it be Amazon or all these other entities that are already using that. I mean, they got a handle on this AI. It's not going to get out of their control, is it? Well, as we've talked before, Facebook, just Facebook's, they've not only created AI and they're not only dependent on AI, it's already going rogue. It created its own language and it freaked the engineers out so much they had to unplug the thing. Watch this.
Facebook has enacted an emergency shutdown of two artificial intelligence programs. The social media giant leapt into action after it discovered the two programs were writing their own code. At first, they thought it was simply gibberish, but they soon realized the programs had invented their own language and were actually talking to each other.
Stop it.
Stop it. No, Sam, the plug has been pulled on the operation. But the company admits they have no idea what the two robots were planning.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe just to take over humanity or, you know, but that's just, you know, conspiracy wacko stuff. You don't need to be concerned about that. God said in the last days, when you see an increase of knowledge, it's going to lead to an event called the end of times. Civilization is going to come to an end as we know it. And folks, it isn't just the AI. We have the ability with the computing power, but we have an increase of knowledge, so much so we don't even know what to do with it, and we're storing it as fast as we can, but now we're relying on this AI to handle it for us, but at the same time, you just gave it the power to learn like a human and become superhuman and spiral out of control. Do you see it all fits together? And it's all happening in our lifetime. Now, as I close, recently, if you don't want to listen to God, which I recommend you do, but again, tech moguls are saying, man, I'm telling you, this is a big thing. While we're all worried about that cat playing the piano on YouTube, right, and what's going on with the economy, this is what's happening behind the scenes. And it's doom and gloom. It's not good, right? But Elon Musk, we've seen, is warned before. We saw he already said we're summoning the demon. Speaking of Facebook, he actually recently called Mark Zuckerberg out, who has this Pollyannish attitude. Oh, AI, no problems. We got this thing under control. Right? Elon Musk says, man, dude, you are flirting with fire. Watch this. And these are non-Christians. Watch this.
We used to do everything by hand. Now we rely on robots.
But not all robots are equal. For example, meet Sophia, a humanoid-like robot with artificial intelligence and a dark sense of humor.
They think I want to destroy all humans.
Why would they think that?
Because I said it.
Now, robots threatening the human race isn't new. It's a science fiction standard.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me.
But recently, tech billionaire Elon Musk suggested all that fiction could become reality.
I keep sounding the alarm bell, but you know, until people see like robots going down the street killing people, like they don't know how to react.
And Musk should know. His company Tesla is a world leader in artificial intelligence, or AI. But just like robots, not all tech billionaires think the same. So enter Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Now, it's important to note that two billionaires have a history. This was Musk's rocket. Inside was Zuckerberg's satellite. Musk is afraid of the day AI gets smarter than us and we can't turn it off.
With AI especially, I'm really optimistic. And I think that people who are naysayers and kind of try to drum up these doomsday scenarios are... I don't understand it. I think it's really negative, and in some ways, I actually think it's pretty irresponsible.
Musk's response? Zuckerberg's understanding of the subject is limited. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch is right. But you can see the tech titans going at it, folks. And it's a sign that we're living in the last days. What's he basically saying about Facebook? Dude, you got a dangerous Pollyannish attitude. You don't know what you're flirting with. Oh, and by the way, the guy that said that, your AI systems are already writing their own language, freaking the engineers out, and you're having to unplug it. And you think it's perfectly fine, there's no problems. Folks, the AI invasion has already begun, but as you can see, when Jesus said this begins to take place, what do? Run, freak out, hide to the hills. No, why? Look up, baby. Man, we don't know the day and the hour, but the rapture's got to be getting close. Our redemption is drawing near. That's not bad news, that's good news. How many different signs does God have to get us and give us that it's getting close? We should be excited about this stuff, not freaked out and afraid. And so as Christians, we need to finish strong. We need to get the gospel out. We need to tell as many people as we can about Jesus, because praise God, there's a way out of this mess. You don't want to be in the 7-year tribulation when all this stuff is really going to be in its heyday. You need to get saved right now. That's what we need to be doing with our time. Amen. But as always, if you're here today or if you're watching online, if you're not saved, how many more signs has God got to give you? We dealt with 20 weeks on the Jewish people. Is that not enough for you? 16 weeks on modern technology. Is that not enough for you? We're now in the AI invasion. How many signs do you need? How many different angles does God got to get to your head? Basically, get saved now. If the rapture were to happen today and you were left behind, you'll be thrust into the worst time in the history of mankind. AI is not going to lead to some modern utopia convenience reality. It's going to lead to, Jesus said, the worst time in the history of mankind. You don't want to be there. Get saved today. Amen.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie, because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.